Serious Rap Shit is a production of iHeartRadio.
Me and my friend take this rap shit seriously.
Boom. Mic check. 1, 2, 1, 2. Episode, this is 156?
156, yeah.
Man, we rocking and rolling. Episode 156, Serious Rap Shit Podcast. I'm John, your host.
I'm Josh, your other host.
And yeah, we about to get busy. How you been, Josh?
I'm cooling, man. I'm cooling. I binge watched that, The Haunting of Bly Manor over the weekend.
How is that?
I like it. I really liked it.
What is it about? Is it like freaky? It'll like fuck my brain up.
It's all right. So it's a gothic love story,
like Twilight
with ghosts. Like, so it's a it's like it's not a sequel to Hill House, The Haunting of Hill House, right?
Oh,
it's an anthology version of like a sequel. So like there's some people who play the same characters. There's some people who are the same actors that are just playing different characters.
I didn't know it was in that same universe. I thought it was some completely different shit.
Yeah, it's the same guy, same writer and director. I don't think he directed this. Like, I think he directed every episode of Hill House. I think he only directed one episode in this.
Oh, wow.
Huh. But same writer, like he wrote all of it. It's good. It's really good. I really enjoyed it. But it's not like there's some jump scares in it, and there's some like eeriness. The only thing that like kind of ruined it for me was I had like subtitles on, and I don't always watch with subtitles, but like I just happen to have them on.
Okay.
I think my kids always turn the subtitles on for whatever reason.
The same.
So like I think they watched something and had subtitles on. So I just left. I didn't bother turning it off. And like, so a little bit of like the eeriness would killed because like before the eerie music would come on, it's kind of like mood setting. It says right on the bottom of the screen, eerie music playing. Yeah, yeah, so yeah. Like
creepy kind of
took
music.
Me out. Right. Yeah, it kind of took me out of like, oh, I'm supposed to be a little creeped out with this music here.
Right.
But it's more a love story than like a horror story. But there's ghosts. There's still ghosts, and ghosts still play a huge part in it.
Yeah.
And it's really good though. It's really well done. The acting is fucking phenomenal. Aside from the people from Hill House, I don't know any of the actors that are in it. Like they're all pretty new to me.
Yeah.
So that helps because it doesn't take me out of stuff.
I love like spooky anthology stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I love Creepshow as a kid. You know what I mean? What was this shit? Damn, it was a joint that we used to watch at Just Crib. It was like a Korean joint. And there was one. Shout out to Just for having like the freakiest movies ever. Back when we was young, we would like twist up L's and be like high as shit in Just Crib. He'd be playing us just like the most horrific shit. But there was a film, it was Three Extremes, I think it was called.
Okay.
And there was one straight up, the whole film was just a woman who had been buried alive. And you just like hear her breathing and shit and like struggling in a fucking coffin. It was horrendous. And then, you know, when you're like high and you like sensitive and shit, I don't know about y'all, but like I only want like puppies and kittens when I'm stoned. You know what I mean? And this shit was like the most horrific shit. There was one where a guy tied up this guy's family with like piano wire. It was like horrible, like the most horrible things you could imagine. But I love like scary, creepy, ominous stuff in that format where it's like episodes of shit, you know, all maybe all tied together or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. I it was I I thought it was really good. It was really, it's really worth like sitting and binging. You know what I mean?
Nice.
9 episodes too. So like, it's not super long.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, that was really good. You finally indulged in a TV show. I mean, you know, only 20 years late, but you know.
I like to be on the cutting edge
of
popular culture. Yeah, you're correct. I finally sat down and watched The Wire. You know what I mean? I could hear people groaning preemptively. But yeah, I want to say a couple years ago, I posted on Facebook. I just posted, I've never seen an episode of The Wire. And I had like 80 comments in the thread. People were really, really disappointed in me. But I just never, when it came out, I didn't have cable. And I just never really got around to watching it. I tried a couple times and couldn't really get into it. But this time I was like ready for it. I was like, yo, I'm going to sit down and watch The Wire. And I finished it dumb fast. You know what I mean? Because like I started it. I went out of town last week and I started it a couple weeks, you know, before I rolled out. And then I just finished it like the other day. So I went through it like it's like 5 seasons. I went through it like mad quick and I thoroughly enjoyed it. I thought it kind of like crept up on me. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I was watching it. The first couple episodes were like whatever for me. And I was like, all right, you know what I mean? I'm going to just stick with it. And after a while, I don't know when I transitioned from just sticking with it to like being really excited for, you know, the next like coming episodes, but it snapped like that. And I was like fully invested.
Yeah. Yeah. It's probably one of the best well-written shows as far as like building character depth. And like every episode has like amazing one-liners.
Yeah.
And like deep one-liners, not just like, oh, you know, joke here and there, but like
say some slick shit. Yeah.
Yeah. And even just like little shit like the motherfucker episode. Right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
Like where they're investigating spoilers for a fucking TV show that's been out for 20 years.
Right.
In case you're John and you never watched it before. But like when they're investigating that murder and they're like, motherfucker. Mm-hmm. Like that's all they say in the whole scene, essentially.
The whole fucking scene, yeah.
And like, but like you get the context of it, you know what I mean? But yeah, it's on me. I mean, like, I think The Wire is one of the best shows, if not the best show ever on TV.
Yeah.
And what I always loved about it was it didn't memorialize fucking police officers and like,
right. Right.
It showed that they're not perfect people. Like it wasn't like, oh my God, they're the most like there's certain aspects of it where they're like, you know, they're quote unquote good guys in a lot of senses, but like it showed complex depth in like, even like, you know, the essentially like hood characters or whatever. Mm-hmm. And that like, you know, there's certain shit that's like, you know, like Omar, like, you know, he says I never raised my gun on a citizen.
Right, right.
Like, I only ever raised my gun on somebody in the game.
It was in the game, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, he killed it playing that role. Michael K. Williams, really all of them motherfuckers, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, yeah. They did it's crazy. That shit.
It's crazy, too, when you watch that, and then, like, I've watched so much shit after that and been like, oh, that's McNulty right there. Like, because he's in so much shit that I've just never paid any attention to him. But because of, like, that character, like, now I know I see him in a bunch of other shit.
Right. Yeah, that shit, I thoroughly enjoyed it. Wood Harris was real great in it. And, like, every time somebody would die, I was like, I would be like, yo, how are they going to continue the fucking show without this motherfucker? You know what I mean? Like, how are they like, what's the boy, D'Angelo, like when D'Angelo died, I was like, this is like his show. Like, how do y'all go on? But then they did. I love how the storytelling, you could tell basically that they're telling the story of Baltimore as a city, but they, from like a macro and micro sense, it's like the, you know, focus on the schools and the media and the newspaper, you know, newspaper in the city, the police and the fucking docks and the young boys, you know, hustling on the corner and shit. It's like you get all of these little like micro, you know, pieces of, you know, city life in Baltimore, but the whole is like greater than all of the small parts.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So yeah, that shit, it was like, I thought it was brilliant that they approached it that way. I had issues with the show. Some of the dialogue is like mad cringy to me. I know that white people wrote a lot of that fucking dialogue for them black characters. You can't convince me otherwise. But besides that, I thought it was like really well done. And I see why people, you know, say it's like, yo, this is like a great fucking show. It absolutely is.
Yeah. And what I will say is like, you could definitely tell like they spent time to really build those characters, because like, yo, you watch that show and you're like, yo, I know people that were like this.
Yeah.
Like, I know, like, we grew up with like the fourth season when it's all about the kids. It's like, mm-hmm. oh, I know, like, when I was a kid, I knew every one of those kids. Like, you right. know what I mean? Like,
right.
I knew somebody who was like every one of those characters.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or just like when I was older, like, I knew a bunch of, you know, I knew hustlers and shit, and I knew dudes that were, you know, I didn't necessarily know no kingpins and no shit like that, but like, mm-hmm. you know, new dudes that acted the way certain dudes act and
yeah.
who did shit the way certain dudes did it. It's a phenomenal show in a way that it's like, it's small. Like, it takes like snapshots of shit, but like then builds them bigger. You know what I mean? Like each snapshot, like, you know, like one of those things where like it's a mosaic or whatever, and they use like a picture to then build like a bigger picture. Like mm-hmm. that's what they did. You know what right. I mean? They took like very small snapshots of each situation to then make it a bigger picture and make it something that's like, it showed how it showed just how inner working and how interwoven everything is set up. Like, yeah. you know what I mean? And how everything is fucking set up against black and brown people. And like,
yeah,
like you can't just like, just changing one part of the system is never going to change it. You know what I mean?
I was gonna say, I noticed that what stuck out to me, and what I don't think that we see as frequently as we should in popular culture and media, just it the Wire showed how institutions fail poor people, black folks specifically, at like every level. You know yeah. what I mean? There was no, like, you had some cops who were attempting to be noble, you know what I mean, but they were surrounded by a bunch of bullshit.
Yeah, and by a corrupt system. Yeah.
Right. And engaged themselves in a bunch of bullshit. You know what I mean? You had teachers who were attempting to be noble but didn't have the funding or the wherewithal. It really showed just how the institutions of our society, who are supposed to take care of people, especially are supposed to take care of the most vulnerable, just don't do that. You know what I mean? And how people who are powerful have all of the opportunities to take advantage of the system and take advantage of the institutions that are supposed to protect poor and vulnerable people, and how they use it, you know, to their own benefit. It just really, outside of this, I think that's part of what makes The Wire greater than the average like crime drama, where it's like framed in like a moral sense. Like, there's good guys and there's bad guys, and sometimes the, you know, bad guys act good and sometimes the good guys act bad. The Wire is like has a greater dimension to it to me, because it shows how a lot of these failings and a lot of these situations that people get into are really failings of the system.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It lived, it let people live in the gray while like showing the system in the negative the whole time. Like, it did, you know what I mean? It didn't allow, like, you know, it didn't, you know, it didn't bother to ever try to show the system as working. Like, it purposely showed the system doesn't work at all.
Yeah.
Like, people have to live in a gray area because the fucking system doesn't work.
Yeah. Like if it did, shit would be better.
Exactly. Like, the whole first season is like, yo, we just want dope on the table. Like, we just want a good photo op
mm-hmm.
so we can show that we're doing something. And yeah. that's like, I mean, I just saw, I forget who posted it over the weekend, but somebody posted a picture of like, they busted a weed ring in like New York.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was Reef. Shout out Reef. I think Reef posted it. And it's like, how much time and money was wasted on that yep. for a drug that's legal in a lot of states?
Everywhere, about.
Yeah. For at least like medical, you know what I mean? Yeah. And it's like, if it's not even recreational, just medical, it's legal fucking here in Pennsylvania for medical. So like, mm-hmm. you did all this shit to bust all this money and shit that's wasted to bust a fucking a marijuana ring that's like, how much, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars was probably wasted mm-hmm. on that could have been used in other areas that could have helped so much more.
Yeah.
But it's just the optics. It's always about the optics.
Right.
And like, it showed too, like, it's like, yo, and, you know, in the police department, you fucking fail upwards.
Yo, I'm glad you said that. There was so much of that shit that I peeped throughout the wire. I'm like, wait, this guy's still a cop?
Yeah.
You know, like, what I mean? Or this dude got upwards. A promotion? Yeah.
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 Just fail upwards. I mean, like, they make it a point of going like, Lester Freeman works in the pawn shop department because he tried to like bring a case against something, you know, someone bigger than street level. And they were like, yeah, no, you're going right. out. Like, you know, they banish you to somewhere so you don't fucking, like, you can't make waves.
Yeah. They're like, yo, you're doing too much.
Yeah. 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 Like, so, and even like as he gets on the drug cases and he's like, well, we got to follow the money. Mm-hmm. And as soon as they pull over like a state rep, they're like, yeah, no, you now it's cases dead.
Yep.
Like,
yep. They pulled over, Ashy Larry.
Yeah. Ashy Larry. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
As soon as you get to a certain point, they're like, no, we don't want that. And like, that is something that you didn't see in crime shows. Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
Because, you know, the whole, like, you know, that's not what you see in fucking Law and Order every day, or, you know what I mean? Like, none of these shows are fucking Blue Bloods or what, you know, name the million fucking cop shows that are out here.
Yeah.
It's never about that. Like, it's about like, yo, we make these, you know, you only get a certain level.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's like, yo, this guy's a pervert. Let's get him.
Yeah.
But we don't see like all of the like corruption and shit that happens. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yo, like that shit. How they showed, they were like, yo, we're trying to get funds out of the city budget for like one specific problem. Like they thought there was like a homeless serial killer.
Yeah.
It turned out to be bullshit. But they were like, all right, yo, if you do this and if you give, you know, man hours to the cops, then you're gonna have to cut the teachers. It might be like a teacher's layoff later or whatever. And like, they had to like balance that shit. You know what I mean? Yeah. It really just showed really how precarious, you know, budgeting and policing and all of this stuff works, and education. And like you said, like how interwoven all of this shit really is. And, you know, none of it's, you know, serving the people as it should be.
Nah, it's all a game, and it's rigged. That's like the biggest thing. Like, and it's one of the saddest aspects of The Wire is that, like, the finale is just, it goes on. Like,
yep,
nothing yep. changes. Like, yep. you know what I mean? Because the war on drugs has never gone away. Nothing changes. Like, players change. No one, like, and I think something that always hit me was like, Marlo was always about his name. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Marlo's, you know, like, even in the end when he's like, you know, gone straight or whatever, he fights, he beats up two dudes in the street. But like the whole point is when he hears them talking about Omar. Omar became a legend. Marlo stepped away from the game and there just became another Marlo. Like, you know what I mean? Yep. Like Avon was Marlo before Marlo, and now now he's out the game. There's just another Marlo. Like, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Like your legend just goes away. Like
yeah.
Omar is a folk hero.
Yeah.
And Omar, like they're talking about it. And like, that's something like was real subtle in the last season. Is like after he gets killed, there's like background conversations of him going, oh, he was in a shootout with like 15 people and he killed five with, like, you know what I mean?
So, yo, they came up with the AKs. Yeah.
Yeah. Like there's a folk hero legend that's built around Omar, and people already forgotten who Marlo is because mm-hmm. there's just already another Marlo.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
And you were never going to be him.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? Like, and now like Chris is the new Omar now. And mm-hmm. like you have like, you know what I mean? Like all these people just end up like, you know, fucking like the best thing I ever got from it, like, was Bub's story.
Mm, yeah.
Like Bub's story when he, like, his sister opens up the stairs, like that's the only happy ending we really get. You know what I mean?
Right.
Everybody else just goes on.
Mm-hmm.
Bub's is the story that changes.
Yeah.
He actually gets progress. Cause it's heartbreaking when you watch it again later on, like watching him, like, cause there's a couple times in there and it's probably the realest story of like drug addiction you get, in the sense of like he's, oh, I'm going to give up. I'm going to give it up. I'm going to give it up.
Mm-hmm.
And then like, he falls right back into it because, like, you know, he hits a fucking barrier, and because the system is so fucked up, like there's no way to get around that. So like, he's right back to doing it again. And it's just like, you see him get to a point and then he falls again and to finally see him like walk through the door at the end, like my whole takeaway from The Wire, I wrote this not too long ago. So I did a rewatch and it was like, I just hope Bubs stay clean.
Yeah.
Like if that's the win you get, then fuck it, man. That's the win you take.
Right.
You know what I mean? So yeah, it's an amazing series. And if you haven't watched it, go watch it. Like,
sorry, we spoiled everything.
Yeah. But listen, it's fucking worth it. Like, even if you know everything that's coming. Because you know a lot just from like social context, you know a lot. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, I knew I feel like I knew Stringer had gotten killed. Yeah, I knew a few things about it going into it. And I was like, nah, I'm just going to really give this the time and attention that, you know, that it warrants. I don't say probably, that it warrants.
Yeah.
Word.
Yeah. It's great. Go watch it. You know what I mean? Definitely.
Yeah, that'll be the name of this episode. Watch the fucking Wire.
Yeah.
But yeah, let's hop out and go into a break. A few crazy things have happened in the past week since we last spoke. But yeah, let's hop out into a break. Come right back. All right, boom, back in effect. Okay, so you're gonna have to walk me through this one.
Okay.
I read a little bit about it, but I'm still not exactly sure about what's happening. But Killer Mike launches a new digital banking service, and it's called Greenwood Banking.
Yeah,
break this down for me.
Greenwood Banking is obviously named after the area in the Tulsa. You know, the Black Wall Street. So
yeah, Tulsa. For folks who don't know, Tulsa, Oklahoma, a black community was burnt down back in the day and bombed, and you know, multiple people were killed by white people. You know, sometimes you have to like specify. I feel like you say like, oh yeah, a bunch of black people got killed, and white people are like, well, who did it? Y'all did. You know what I'm saying? This is a prosperous black town.
Yes, thriving black community.
Yeah, that was destroyed during the Jim Crow era, But yeah, Greenwood is like was their bank at the time. That's where they got Killer Mike got the name from.
Yeah, and it's a like it's a digital banking service for like Black and Latinx people. Mm-hmm. It's essentially like it's supposed to help like build like financial literacy and build up like Black and Brown wealth. You know what I mean? With like loans designed specifically to like you know you know like it's not not a like not unknown that like Black and Brown folks are specifically like not given loans at the same rates white people are for mm-hmm. businesses, for homes, for all those kind of things.
Yeah.
And if they are, it's like this, it's the targeted shit that happened with the housing collapse, the housing market collapse. Like, mm-hmm. you know what I mean?
Predatory loans.
Yeah. Predatory shit. So this is like supposed to be set up to combat those kind of things. My only worry with things like this, are like the true backing behind it, similar to like Akon and the fucking like the lighting, lights.
Yeah, in Africa, yeah, project, and yeah,
and it's like China's the one that's behind it,
right? Right,
you know what I mean? Like, I just get leery with that kind of shit because people take advantage, like, you know what I mean? Like, they see an opportunity to take advantage, but yeah, I mean, like, if it's all legit and everything, it's like it's awesome because like it's just extremely important, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I've seen some people kind of on Twitter when this was announced, I've seen some people like jabbing at it. Mm-hmm. I feel like if you don't like Killer Mike or disagree with him politically, it's gonna be like, yo, fuck this dude, what is this? I'm fully on board with the idea that like Black capitalism won't save Black people, like, I understand that, but, you know, in the meantime, we absolutely should be able to get loans. We absolutely should. I feel like there's like a middle ground that doesn't get discussed. Like, people are like, yo, all we got to do is like, you know, capitalism, but Black, and then it'll work. And then you have like people who are like Black leftists who are like, no, don't do it at all. I feel like there's a middle ground. Like, Black folks need loans. Black folks need you know, financial independence, financial literacy, all of that stuff that's been like systematically denied us, you know what I mean, since we've gotten here in this country. So like you said, if this is like all right and exact and it's not, you know, some bullshit behind the scenes, I don't have no problem with it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like you said, I think the name Killer Mike attached to it makes it divisive to begin with.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's a lot of people on both sides who don't like Killer Mike for different reasons.
Yeah.
So I think that can hurt in certain aspects. And like you said, also, the idea that, you know, just capitalism with a different, you know what I mean, a different hue mm-hmm. is going to make a difference. And it's, you know, it's not. Like, I mean, capitalism in itself is a system that is set up to, the only way someone can do well is by a mass amount of people not doing well.
Right.
But it is a system that we operate in currently.
Mm-hmm.
And until we topple it, we have to operate within it. Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, you operate within it and you do what you can, and like a system like this will help a lot of people, like you said, if it's right and exact.
Yeah, I hope that I'm gonna read into this a little bit, but yeah, I hope that, you know, that the loans are right and exact, you're not hitting people with a you know what I mean, like a crazy interest rate or nothing like that. Just do right by people.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I hope it's not like Rush Card reinvented.
I've seen a few people bring up the Rush Card shit, the Queen Latifah card, which we talked about on this podcast before.
One of our first episodes is like, everybody gets a Rush Card. Like, right. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I hope it's not that. You know what I mean? We're like, yo, get your, you know, get your check direct deposited on Greenwood Banking. And then like all of a sudden your checks are not showing up on your card or something.
Right.
Like, I hope it's not that. I hope it's not like the Fat Farm card or some shit.
Yo, Russ ain't shit, yo. Cause like, they definitely said like motherfuckers like around the country, thousands of people just didn't get their check 1 week. Yeah. I'm like, come on, y'all. Like, we trusted y'all. I ain't trust y'all niggas because, you know, I trusted the Queen Latifah card when I was like 18 and I was young and dumb. But, you know, years later, I ain't trust no motherfucker Rush card.
Nah, there's no way. Nah, I can't. Like, I don't know. My man, like, you know, Fat Farm was never really my wave in like fashion wise. If I can't trust you fashion wise, like I can't trust you with my money.
You wouldn't get like a Busta Rhymes like Bushy credit card.
No.
A Volcal
giant leather hats that have like 30 patches on them is not my wave. So
mad
like
colors.
I'm not. You know, and listen, I wouldn't trust Andre 3000 with my money either. Like, you know what I mean?
Dog,
your fashion sense shows me that you make bad decisions.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? Russ was wearing a lot of sweater vests. That, like, you know what I mean?
Yo, they had like the fake preppy shit. And I'm like, dog, why am I not just buying like low?
Like, exactly. Yeah.
I know that sounds fucked up, but like, come on, Russ. I'm not trying to buy a fucking V-neck sweater vest from y'all niggas, and then
fuck on it.
Yeah, and fuck my credit up with a damn Rush card.
I'm good.
God damn.
Hopefully, this isn't like, you know what I mean, a Run the Jewels.
Run your credit report.
Yeah, run your credit report.
You know I trust Killer Mike more than I trust Russell Simmons. I'm gonna say that. I don't know that brother. I don't know neither one of them brothers, but I trust Killer Mike over Russell Simmons.
Absolutely. There was also a story this week where Kid Cudi, I think it was in Rolling Stone Italy. I was about to call it Rolling Stone Italian. That definitely wasn't right. That sounds like a fucking salad. So in article in Rolling Stone Italy, he talks about like his struggles with mental health. And like, I mean, his first single is like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. All about was definitely a song about mental health.
Yeah.
So I know he's talked about it for a while, but like, he also talked about how like he's really struggled recently. And that album he did with Kanye, Kids See Ghosts or
like Children See Ghosts or is it Kids?
Yeah, something like that.
It's Kids See Ghosts.
Yeah, he said how that really, really helped him. And like music in general, like it's such a great outlet. But also, like I remember Dak Prescott, the quarterback from the Cowboys. Fuck the Cowboys, but
all day.
He talked about struggling with like mental health. Like I think his brother died recently. His brother was killed, I think, recently.
Oh wow.
Or died. I know he's passed. I don't remember. I don't remember if he died or just like, you know, sick or something like that, or if he was killed. But he's like talked about like really struggling this past year with like mental health and depression and anxiety. And like Skip Bayless like ripped into him on whatever the fuck his show is.
It's really Undisputed.
Yeah, and just was like, you can't be showing weakness and blah, 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 blah.
No, he didn't say that.
Yeah, he was like, oh, you're the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. You can't be showing weakness.
That's like part of the job. Being a cowboy.
And so, like, what I do like is, like, with the situation with Kid Cudi talking about it, and then, like, Dak Prescott opening up about it. Obviously, Kevin Love talked about it before. Paul George just recently had opened up about suffering through like depression and anxiety in the bubble.
And
everything going on with COVID.
Yeah.
And I think like just having that discussion is so important, man. Like, this is a man, like I'm dead honest. Like I've struggled with it recently. Like just with like just anxiety and stress and like the fucking depression of COVID. Like yesterday I had an anxiety attack. And like, it's a constant struggle.
Yeah.
And like, I think what's important about what Cuddy said about like talking about like music and like how like art helps him, I think it's something that like in a larger scale, when we talk about how schools are severely underfunded now, and like a lot of these kids, like rec centers and all that shit, are just not being exposed to any way to even help. And like, they're not getting the mental health they need, mental health help that they need.
Yeah.
On top of the fact that like, they're not fucking even given any outlet.
Yeah.
That really could help them.
You know? Outlets and then, you know, support systems too.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Cause I feel like I'll speak for myself. When I was a kid, there were like certain people I felt like I could talk to, and maybe it would be, you know, a parent, maybe it would be a teacher or somebody in the neighborhood or somebody who's like a coach, you know what I mean? Like it's not always, you know, the people who you think it might be. So kids need as many of those potentials as possible, yeah, like potential people that they can talk to. And like you said, like a lot of kids just don't have the outlets or the resources. And it's like, well, damn, you know what I mean? If there's nobody at home or school, then there's not even the potential for somebody at fucking PAL or, you know, yeah, at the library. The fucking library is open like an hour a day. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? Because all the budgets are cut. So, yeah, it's a really potentially dangerous situation for a young person. They don't have anybody to turn to.
Yeah, and I know, like, there's a lot of talk of, like, rising suicide rates now with, like, you know, with everything going on with, like, with quarantine and shit like that.
Yeah.
And the idea that, like, you know, the youth are, the suicide rates in the youth are going up. And it's like, I don't understand how people do not see the direct correlation between, A, how we even talk about and handle mental health. I mean, like, Skip Bayless is like the biggest, one of the biggest fucking sports personalities as far as like TV talking head type people in the world.
Absolutely.
For him to even fix his mouth to say, like, I understand, like, listen, I know that like those dudes go on and like go, okay, I'm going to take this point of view, you take this point of view, and we'll argue and shit. Because right, they contradict themselves constantly because like they probably forget each day what position they took yesterday.
Right.
But to even think that that would fly, that someone would say like, yeah, well, you know, you're weak because you can't talk about that. It's like,
yeah,
do you know how many people like that might have saved by even just mentioning that?
Yeah.
You know, Paul George just talking about it, Kid Cudi talking about it.
Yeah.
And just mentioning the idea that like, yeah, you know, I struggle with it too, because there's so many kids out here that are dealing with it every day.
Yeah. And feeling the worst, like struggling is bad, you know what I mean? Obviously. And like, you know, dealing with stuff and like trying to, you know, press on through it, struggling and feeling like you're alone in it,
yeah,
is even worse.
Yeah.
So there's there's no reason to like, you know, even outside of like just like common decency on a practical level, there's no reason to question people for speaking out about that or like try to stamp that stuff down. We need more of that.
Yeah. I remember the Eagles had a offensive lineman they drafted, or was it a defensive lineman? I don't remember, years ago. He made that song. Remember the joint? He made the song, Get Your Michael Phelps song, my Michael Phelps song.
Yeah.
I remember dude's name. But they talked about him like struggling with like depression and anxiety and shit like that.
Right.
And like it was a joke point on the radio. Like people were like, oh yeah, whoa, I bet he's depressed and all those kind of things. And then like it was something that was not handled very well at all.
Yeah.
As far as like people just thought, oh, it's okay to make fun of somebody who's suffering from these things because like they looked at it as a weakness.
Yeah.
And I remember being a kid and knowing that, like, I knew something was wrong, right? Like, I didn't understand exactly what was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I know my mom has, like, severe, like, she dealt with severe depression. Like, she didn't even tell me she was seeing somebody when I was a kid. Like, she would see a therapist.
Yeah.
But I knew she dealt with like anxiety and depression and stuff like that when I was a kid. I just could see it. I didn't know what, you know, how to term it or anything like that.
You knew.
Yeah, but I knew. I didn't know till like recently, like in the last year or two, that she saw somebody. And she was on medicine, like all these things I did not know as a kid. But like I knew something was wrong with myself. I knew there was like a reason why I hated who I was and I hated myself as much as I did. And like why I would like feel certain ways and shit like that. And I knew something was wrong, but I didn't have a way to contextualize it. And there was no talk of that shit in any like avenue that like we lived in, like sports, music, like none of those things. Mm-hmm. No one talked about like, oh, I'm depressed.
Yeah. I was watching the Biggie biopic the other day, Notorious. Mm-hmm. And it just made me think about when Biggie's first record came out and he had the song like Suicidal Thoughts, and he's talking about like wanting to kill himself and like hating himself and like self-loathing and stuff. I remember that shit was such a like scandal.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? When he first like came out and was addressing that stuff, because, you know, nobody had done it before. You know what I mean? Nobody had rapped about being depressed. You know, maybe like My Mind's Playing Tricks on Me was like maybe the first like rap song that dealt with mental health. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And,
but even that hadn't gone as far as Biggie would go a few years later. And it was really just it was scandalous. You know what I mean? It was something that just wasn't done and wasn't talked about. And I do appreciate that the culture and the music has kind of opened up more and allowed for more of that shit, because I feel like it really is necessary to be something that's put out on Front Street for people to feel more and more comfortable with sharing, and we all work it out and support people as they work it out.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's just so, I think it's so important that it's, I mean, so what Skip Bayless did was shit. Like, he's a shit person for doing it.
Yeah, fuck Skip Bayless for that shit.
What I did love was like the blowback that he got.
Mm-hmm. He earned that.
Yeah. And like just that turn in conversation of like, you know, people would talk about you being weak. And like that turn, like he said that and they were like, yo, fucking Fox needs to suspend dude for that. Like, people were legit on Twitter like, yo, they need to suspend him for that.
Yeah.
Like, that's dangerous. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Like, what you're talking about is dangerous. You're literally endangering other people by telling them they need to power through.
Right.
Especially at a time when we're living in like a fucking precedented shit of, you know what I mean, a fucking pandemic where people are stuck in their house.
Right.
You know, 90-some% of the time, and people are lacking human interaction. Human, literal, something that we actually need to survive. Mm-hmm. We are lacking in human interaction. And like, you know, one of the biggest things they talk about, like with like depression and anxiety, is like, yo, like hugging is one of the best things you can do.
Yeah.
To defeat that, like that feeling. Right. And like not being able to even have that is fucking hard. Like when your reaction is, yeah, well, you need to man up and power through that.
Yeah. Power fucking through it. Skip Bayless, somebody who probably ain't even been punched in the face since like the '60s, telling people to fucking power through some shit. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, I just was really happy when I read when I was reading the Kid Cudi thing, and like, but then like also thinking like, god damn, like there's so many kids out here who just not even like have access to any of these support systems.
Yeah,
you know, obviously, there's no fucking money for, you know, music programs. Like, my son's high school didn't even have a music program. Like, there's no music at our high school that we went to. There's no music class anymore.
Yeah.
Like, that's completely, like, that's just closed. Like, that whole wing is something different. Yeah. And I mean, it was barely functional when we were in school. So like the idea that it's closed now is like, yeah, that's not too crazy, because the shit was barely functional when we were kids.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's crazy that like it's, I mean, I don't know. I think like how we look at a lot of these things is wild to me, that, and how these aspects of like, you know, just simple things of like treating people, like mental health is healthcare. Like I think yesterday was Mental Health Day.
Mm-hmm.
International Mental Health Day. I know like on Reddit, the like R unemployed thread, like the top thing that's pinned on there is like the suicide prevention number and all that kind of shit. Because like, you know, they just announced last week, they're like, you know, Dickhead said like, yo, we're breaking down conversations. We're not going to talk about any more stimulus until after the fucking election.
It's so fucking horrible. Y'all are basically letting it be known that you're going to like hold us hostage.
Yeah. I mean, you know, they gave out one stimulus check of $1,200.
Right.
Fucking 5 months ago now, some shit like that.
Right.
Maybe longer. I don't even fucking know.
Right.
But they gave that out, and then like they were like, "Yeah, all right, fuck y'all."
Yeah.
And then like the unemployment, like they made that extension in the that extra money that like literally was one payment. Mm-hmm. Like you got that unemployment, that extension that he put in for like the $300, literally went out one time, and that was it. Like they gave a chunk payment for like
Jesus.
4 or 5 weeks, and then that ran out. Like that was it. Like you got one time.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, like there's people on that thread are just like, yo, I don't know what I'm gonna do. Like I have enough food for a couple days.
Right. Right.
And like where like you're the fucking dude who runs the country is like, yeah, you know what? We're gonna hold off on talking about it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
How is that acceptable? Yeah, and like just voting doesn't change that, because it's not just him. Like, you know what I mean? This is a system that is fucking morally corrupt.
Right. Right.
You know what I mean? And you know, that system is like the idea that you could be like, yo, fuck your citizenry.
Yeah.
Fuck them all.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Just figure like, it out. You can't you can't pay rent, can't do anything, and you can't work.
Yeah.
Just fucking figure it out.
They're like, yeah, well, you know, just go get new jobs. Like, what jobs are out there, man? Like, you know, like what I mean?
Where?
Like, it's insane. And, you know, I'm glad that the conversation is at least being had about mental health and like how that's changed in the last, like, really has changed in the last few years. I'm glad to see that's changed. Also, the idea that like because you're rich, you don't, or because of your situation, you don't have to deal with it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, oh, well, you know, why would this person kill themselves? This rich person kill themselves? It's like, because mental health is a real fucking thing. Like, right. You know what I mean?
And money don't fix it.
Nah. I don't know. I think in the end, like, though, I do really feel good about, like, the place it's heading as far as, like, mental health awareness and, those type of things. I think it's really, really, really important. Because man, this world is fucking shitty right now. And if at least people know they can talk about it, that's major.
Right.
That's major, because man, it's a fucking, you know, listen, dog, it could be a dark next month, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Cause like, you know, we've lasted through this whole summer with this thing, but now like the weather's changing.
Yeah.
And now it's getting mad dark, mad early.
Yeah, seasonal depression is a real thing, right? Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's gonna get cold. And like, you know, holidays are gonna start coming around. And like, you know, right. People are gonna be like not being able to go see their families, and you know, fucking what does Thanksgiving look like in COVID? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to look crazy.
Right.
I mean, you know, I don't want to have Zoom things. I don't do Thanksgiving anyway, so it doesn't make a difference to me. But yeah. Like for people who do, like, it's going to be wild. It's going to be weird. And,
yeah.
And so I do hope that, like, this is opening up. I hope that there's, like, a move to, like, push for more mental health in, like, coverage in health insurance. Because when I had my when I did my old job, my health insurance didn't even really cover any of it. Like,
right.
Like, you know, I had to hit like a $20,000 deductible or some shit like that before, like, they would pay for any of some ridiculous shit like that. Like, there was just, it just really wasn't going to cover it. You know what I mean? And fucking mental health is expensive. Like, mental health care is expensive.
Yeah.
So, the hope is, you know, I'm hoping that, like, as it becomes more aware that, you know, we get more changes for that kind of stuff. But absolutely. Yeah, I guess we can we can end it on that depressing that depressing thing, and get ready to take another break and then hop into, like, what new music we were listening to.
Word, let's do it. Boom, right back at it. So did you listen to anything new this week?
Yes. Shout out to the homie Keystone, friend of the podcast and friend of mine since I was young.
Yeah.
He released an album called Dash, one EP, which is perfect because, you know, I started listening to the dude Heady One, the grime rapper Heady One. He released an album, and I listened to a good chunk of it, but it's 20 songs deep. So I didn't finish listening to that album yet. So
a lot of songs.
Yeah, that's a lot of fucking songs, man. It was good. When I listened to it, it was good. But, like, wow, that was a lot. But, yeah, so the homie Keystone, he released an album called Dash. And it's really good. Beats are super dope. I know he does production, so I'm not sure what he produced of it on, produced of this record. But the bars are super dope.
Nice.
You know, it's not trap rap, like, it's straight bars and, like, you know, more boom bap-ish. So all the people who listen that are, like, you know, get, like, a little annoyed when we talk a lot of, like, you know, trap music and whatever. This is, like, more like bar down. Boom bat shit like that, but it's super dope. You know, it's exec produced by his homie Ivan, who passed.
Damn, rest in peace.
Yeah, so, like, it's a heartfelt record. And, you know, it's really good. It's out on all streaming platforms. Keystone Dash. I think people should really check it out because I really enjoyed it. You know what I mean?
Nice.
And, like, yeah, I think it's a dope record. Dope EP, whatever. But I think it's really dope. And, like, I know he's got some more stuff coming. So, like, I'm really happy that he's, like, he's been sitting on music. Like, another person I know who's made music and then sat on it.
No longer. I'm definitely about to hit niggas with, like, a reissue and a new beat tape very soon.
As you should,
yeah.
But, yeah, like, I know he's recorded a ton of music and, like, sat on stuff. So I'm glad he's, like, putting it out. Me and him had a long conversation not too long ago about, like, putting work out and working on shit.
Yeah.
And, like, he's, like, so I'm glad. I was really happy when he put this out. And, like, it's dope. So, like, I want people to check it out. So, yeah, work. Keystone Dash.
Okay.
Did you listen to anything, though?
Absolutely. I've been fucking with Willie the Kid, his album.
Okay.
Yeah, he got a joint called Capital Gains that's really fucking dope. Like, he's real nice on the mic. I think he was on the Buck Wild album, and his song on Buck Wild album was, like, one of my favorites of that whole record. But yeah, his album is Capital Gains, and, like, the he's ill on the mic. The production is stupid on this show. Like,
really?
V-Don, Alchemist, Evidence, and Muggs all wow. have beats on it. And there's like some other cats who are real ill. It's yeah, it's just like what you would expect if you've heard, you know, Willie the Kid before, and if you've heard all those producers that I named, that's what you can expect from this record. Yeah, it's really shit. Yeah, it's really fucking heavy and dope.
Word, I'm gonna check that joint out.
Yeah.
I mean, like, just on the production side alone, I want to hear it. You know what I mean?
It's that shit, man. Like, if, you know, if I had a whip, like, there's some shit you could, like, ride around and play. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, hard body shit. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I know Smoke Dizza dropped a new record, too. I didn't get a chance to listen to that yet, either.
Yeah, I got to check that out. I'm like, backed up with...
me too.
My inbox is like stupid right now. Like, I'm like backed up. If you're listening to this and you've emailed me in like the past 2 weeks, I apologize because I probably didn't get back to you. You know what I'm saying? But I'm going to take some time this week to like play catch up because like I have a few things to write, but my writing schedule isn't really crazy this week. I knocked out a couple of joints last week. But I'm gonna like catch up on a lot of stuff. I still haven't done like my Grammy voting.
So, oh yeah.
This week is gonna be like a nice catch up week.
Yeah. Taylor Swift, you put down for like album of the year, right?
I'm absolutely voting for Taylor Swift, 1,000%.
She dropped an album this year, right?
Yeah, she did. Right? Yeah, 100%. She earned it. Like,
you got it right here. Yeah, like, you know what I mean.
Why wouldn't I vote for her?
Yeah. Although, like. Oh, you know what? I just thought about this. So, you know, we're on a quest for an EGOT.
Yes, absolutely.
We need to figure out how now with your Grammy voting, how we can set up so the podcast can get a
Grammy.
Can get a Grammy.
I feel like we're either gonna get a Grammy for this podcast or I'm gonna like produce somebody's like audio book. We're gonna work on some shit. And we're going to get...
Something's got to give, yeah.
The Grammy's going to be like the first one.
Yeah.
I can feel it. The Grammy or maybe the Emmy is going to be like the first one.
Do they give like... For soundtracks for documentaries? Can like we get one for the soundtrack for the documentary?
Maybe, yeah.
Yo. I'm just plotting on how we get rolling on our EGOT. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's got to be us before like John Legend. Shout out to John Legend, but yeah, it's got to be us first.
Yeah, like you know, because I'm wearing a hoodie, I'm not wearing no suit to the you know what I mean. I'm
wearing this hoodie right now.
Yeah, I'm gonna try and figure out how to. The only one I'm worried about really is the Tony.
Now, Tony's gonna be rough.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not a play dude. I don't even know if I've ever been to a play. So, like, I might have been to a play when I was a kid.
Speaking of plays, another like new thing that I checked out this week. You just reminded me, the 40-year-old version.
Oh yeah. I saw
really
that.
Really,
I didn't
dope.
See it. I saw like it average. Like I saw people posting about it.
Yeah, it's a film. It's on Netflix. This woman, Rada Blank, who's an MC. And a playwright, she wrote the Spike Lee She's Gotta Have It reboot. She was she was one of the writers on that shit. And this, you can tell like a lot of that visual style from that transferred over to this, but it's her as like kind of like a failed playwright, you know, about to turn 40, and she relaunches a career as a rapper. Which kind of happened to Rada IRL. I think she like she's writing plays, but then like one of her like videos of her rapping like went viral or some shit like IRL. And this film is kind of based on that whole thing. It's really fucking dope. If you like funny like hip hop films about, you know, hip hop and life and shit, it's really fucking dope. 40-year-old version. If y'all haven't seen it, it's on Netflix.
Okay. Yeah, I saw people like talking about it, and I was meaning to check it out.
Yeah, it's
I'm
really cool.
Do that this week.
Work.
Yeah, shout out. Yeah, so that's the only one we really got to work on.
Yeah, yo, that Tony, yeah, it'll be rough. But then again, I feel like we could do something, and then I feel like Broadway, I feel like if we did an ill TV show or something, like Broadway would come hollering at us, like, hey, yeah, you want to make this into, you know,
yeah,
do like some Hamilton shit, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Make like John Brown a musical.
Oof. That'd be crazy. He just killing white folks and rapping. Oh man.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm telling you. But yo, don't cut that part from the podcast. We might have $1 million plan.
Yeah, that's a $1 million idea right there. Cut that shit out.
Yeah, man. But that, you know, listen, he got coming. I'm not even worried about it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know what I mean? But we start wrapping up. You can get us on anywhere on the socials at seriousrapshit.com. Oh, seriousrapshit. Mm-hmm. Well, you can get us at seriousrapshit.com too.
Yep, yep. sure can.
Get the merchandise, get that exclusive video. You can get us on Instagram and Twitter at seriousrapshit. I am indi_srs on Instagram and Twitter. You're John_liberator mm-hmm. on Instagram and Twitter. Do not send us friend requests on Facebook. Don't look us up. Because I think our names are like in the description of like each podcast. So like,
yeah, yeah,
you can find us if you want us. Although yours would be a little harder maybe because like there's like a million, like they probably find a wrestler first.
Right. But I mean, if you write in something like John Morrison writer or John Morrison Philadelphia, I'm right there.
Yeah.
I'm the first. My secret mission in life is to become more popping than that wrestling nigga.
Dude, I don't even think he wrestles no more. Like, you definitely should be more popular than him now.
He like came back.
Oh,
he like retired and then he came back recently.
Oh, fuck that. You more popular than that too. Yo, when this book dropped and you got a bestseller on your hands,
man,
that you'll be way more popping than dude.
Hell yeah, yeah.
Like, I just know, like, I know how, like, Facebook works with, like, fan pages. There's probably, like, a ton of fan pages for, like, a wrestler and shit.
Right, 100%.
So they'll probably, like, pop up first.
I got to fight that dude for the name.
Yeah,
like, tell him to shoot me a fair one for the name.
Or you change yours to, like, Jay. What's your middle name again?
LeVar.
LeVar. So change it to, like, J.L. Morrison.
Yo, I would sound like a writer. I would sound like a nigga on NPR.
Yeah, that's a really dope, like, writer name. You know what I mean?
JL, I'm JL Morrison.
I thought about changing mine, like, doing mine as JW Lighty, like, on shit.
Wait, what's your middle name?
Like Warren.
I never fucking knew that.
Yeah, it's Warren.
I've known you, like, 40 years. I've never known what your middle name was. I feel like somebody, maybe Liz asked me. A while ago, I feel like somebody asked me what your middle name was. I don't know, fucking Josh.
Yeah, it's Warren. I don't even know where that came from. I have no idea where that came from.
Right.
I know my name was going to be Josh or Jocelyn if I was mm-hmm. a girl. So like that name was already, my mom had settled on that.
Yeah.
I have no idea where my middle, it's probably like my great grandfather. Yeah, some one shit of your like people's. That, you know what I mean? Yeah, but, J.W. Lighty, J.L. Morrison. Those two dudes, they win Tonys.
They definitely win Tonys. And
they
Oscars.
Win Tonys. Yeah, man. And Oscars. Like,
it's
they
like J.J.
win...
Abrams.
Yeah, yeah.
Yo.
You know what I mean? Or we do the shit like George Martin did, like it just start adding letters to our middle name. Like George, George, it's George R.R. Martin. And it's only R.R. because of J.R.R. Tolkien.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, he made that up. So we just need to start.
Shit up.
Yeah, no. We just make some shit up. Like those J.W. Lighty and J.L. Morrison win Tonys and Oscars, y'all.
1,000%. And their quote goes up. Like their fee is way higher than like our fee that we getting for shit now.
Yeah. Yeah. I still use a fucking nickname on my IG and Twitter. Like, you know what I mean?
I think your nickname is on our iHeart. Contract.
Oh, really? It's probably look like they probably thought it was my middle name.
Look at it again. We gotta dig that up. I'm pretty sure I remember looking at our iHeart contract. I'm like, why they put Josh's nickname on this shit?
Oh, my name on my bank account is not Joshua. Like, my real name is Joshua, obviously.
Yeah.
My real name is not on my bank account. Cause I think when I filled out the paperwork years, cause I've been with my same bank forever. Mm-hmm. So like, I think when I filled out the paperwork, you know, I was a dumb kid and I just wrote Josh instead of writing Joshua.
Oh, snap.
And I've run into issues with that where they're like, why isn't your name so-and-so on your bank account?
Name, yeah.
Yeah. Because I went to go like cash a check or something. And it was like written all the way out as like, you know, Joshua Lighty or whatever. Mm-hmm. And they were like, yo, why is your name not on your bank account? And I was like, I don't fucking know. Like that's it's Josh, but like my card says Josh Lighty on it.
Mm.
You know what I mean? But the joke I used to tell people was, my mind was too poor when I was born to buy a vowel because I leave off UA. So like,
yeah.
I was like, my mom was too broke to buy two vowels. Like,
you know, damn. Man.
It was funnier back then. But
it like made me sad.
go to seriousrapshit.com and buy some merch. Help us out.
Hoodies and shit.
Yeah, it's hoodie season, baby.
We gotta make a ski mask.
Your set.
We gotta make a Blizzard of 96 ski mask. We gotta do it.
And it's cool. Like, you can wear a mask now. So like, you know what I mean? You can get away with it.
Niggas don't know if you being safe or, you know, trying to rob.
Exactly. It's weird. I'll go to like football practice and I'll put my mask, like I got the neck joint, the one that you pull up all the way from your neck. And like when I put that shit on, I always feel like I'm getting ready to go rob a bank. Like I'm putting on this big ass mask to pull up over my face.
Yeah.
So go to Serious Rap. Go ahead.
Podcast is done. Dog. I was going in the store, like the bodega and shit. This was like right before quarantine hit. And I swear to God, I walked in and saw this dude like masking up. And I went to like slide back out of the fucking store. And I was like, man, these niggas, I've never been shot before. And today ain't going to be the day.
I made it this long without being shot, like I really don't want to get shot now.
Man, look, that nigga was like masking and I was going to slide back out the joint. But one of the like store workers like saw me. It was like, oh, hey, you know what I was like. And I peeped the scene. I was like, oh, he's just like trying on a mask in the store. He wasn't like robbing the place. Fuck that shit. Ain't gonna be me.
Like what shit was in Juice when they in the diner or whatever. Was it Blizzard, right? When Blizz goes in there to go rob the Juice, right? But yeah, so seriousrapshit.com. Go get your merchandise, go get your hoodie or some shit. Also, the Abolish Ice t-shirts and hoodies are still available on Instant Strap and Yoga. COVID is like tearing through the camps right now and like killing man people and like all types of wildness, man. Google like what's going on with the camps and like how like they were just not even like screening like sexual predators and shit like that to hire to watch kids. Yeah, it's crazy. So, fucking wild. And part of the proceeds from those go to helping migrant families with legal aid. If you're listening to this in the the Apple Podcast app, you can review us right in that. 5 stars, write a nice review, tell us how wonderful we are. We really appreciate that. We need it too. It helps like push us up the charts. And you know, we cooking a few things up. We got some shit going on. So, you know what I mean? There'll be big announcements coming soon. But other than that, we'll be back next week. Peace.
Peace.
Serious Rap Shit is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, check out the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get podcasts.